That's it, Andrew. Go on. You tell him. Okay, everybody. Hello. Welcome. My name's Dan and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Dan.
Welcome to a pathway through the program, a 10-part survey of various aspects of the AA program with a couple of different formats over the weekend designed to appeal to both AAs and Al-Anons or indeed anyone using the 12 steps. We're ordinary members of the fellowship, but we don't speak for AA or Al-Anon, and we hope you find our experience helpful. So the format of this session today is as follows. Our three speakers will speak between us for about half an hour on the topic. As they're speaking, you're encouraged to write any questions you have on the slips of paper. Paper and pens will be distributed. And then our lovely assistants are going to collect these during the meeting. We'll then select questions and, if we can, address them by sharing our experience. The session will last for about 50 minutes in total. This is, of course, on sponsorship today. The session is being recorded, and recordings will be made available online over the next few days at a member's personal blog, which is not affiliated with AA. The QR code is in front of me, as is the site address, so you can come down afterwards and scan. So let's start with a few moments of silent prayer to use as you wish. Thank you. So, as I mentioned, the session's topic is sponsorship, and Goral is going to kick us off, followed by Sandy and then Dan. So, Goral, take it away. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dan, and thank you for asking me. My name is Goral. I'm a very grateful recovered alcoholic. I am a sometime participant of Al-Anon, and I've also started very seriously with the ACA program. And all I know is that as long as I deal in the 12-step program, I should be able to talk sense whether you started off in any of these fellowships or any of the many others that also practice the 12 steps. I have done a lot of sponsoring. I do have a sponsor, and my sobriety date is the 5th of April 2001. I'm currently with my second sponsor, who is probably going to outlive me because she's very, very active and is also a great role model for me.
Sorry, can you speak up? We can't hear you very well.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my voice is actually a little cracked, but I'll do it for you, Eddie.
Do it for all of us.
Yeah. Okay. I, funnily enough, have not actually done a dedicated talk on sponsorship, although I have a lot to say on the topic, and I decided I was going to do it in a slightly methodical way, so you know that I've actually spent a little bit of time on this. Starting with this, with step 12, it says very clearly, and it is the 12-step promise, which is actually worded in step 12, it says, having had the spiritual awakening as the result. So the only thing that is asked of us working the program is that we wake up, we become conscious, aware, mindful. And that is through the process that we come through with the sponsor, right? We try, as a result of these steps, we tried the magical word is tried to pass this message to other alcoholics. It also says, it does, so try means it doesn't matter, it's not result based. It is based on the willingness to want to do this, to pass the message on. Because it also says in the A, B's and C's on the page 60, no human power could relieve my alcoholism. So basically, I cannot make anybody sober, but I can take the right action for my own sobriety. And it says, practical experience, I'm now talking from step 12, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. And here comes more promises. Life will take on new meaning, to watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. And about the process of sponsoring, it says, do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. That is why we all get to do step 1, 2, and 3 a million times before we even get to a step 4, because there are loads and loads of people who want to keep us, I should say me, who are willing to test it up to the place where action is required. So that means that I get to stay on step 2 and 3 an awful lot, and that helps my spirituality, that helps my growth, which is such a brilliant idea on how this actually works. So I pay it forward. It doesn't matter if I pay it forward in full, but I get to do parts of it. Also, today it's not so usual to come up and say, I shall sponsor you, or this is your new sponsor, as it was in the old days. But you can always go to a new person and say, I can be your temporary sponsor, which means that you can sort of sneak in a little bit, and it is a non-commitment commitment, and it tends to work for new people who are learning on the job, because this is the only way to do this work, sponsorship work, is to learn on the job. And I'm a very different sponsor today, through my own enthusiasm, through my own growth, through my own willingness to keep sponsoring, than I was when I thought it was all transaction-based and it was all about me keeping somebody sober. And oh my God, the drama if somebody didn't stay sober was, you know, unbearable. The word sponsor didn't come into use until 1953 in the 12 and 12. So in the big book written in 1939, it said, both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. So in other words, to be a sponsor in the early days meant do as I do, not as I say. In other words, it was really required of the person that took on a new person that they were to show how this program worked rather than to tell how the program worked. I think that still stands, actually. So those from step 12 and the vision for you, you get a lot of ideas on how to sponsor. You also get a great idea on how not to sponsor, because it says things like, don't hang on to people who are not ready. You can only work with people who are either surrendered or are ready to surrender. And I very strongly believe that. But that doesn't mean I do not try, because my effort of my own growth hangs in the balance of me being willing to put the effort in. There are a few old-timers that I like to listen to. Roger B is one. He says, a sponsor is a resource, not a tow truck. I like to use that. In other words, I need to show you through the principles of the program how to get sober, not through my own ego. Bob Olsen, another great guy, says, if a sponsor sponsors from the ego, run a mile. In other words, if there's something in it for me, if I'm codependently needing to be one thing or another from having a sponsee, that is not the right motive. Sponsorship has to be, as Herb K says, and I think Herb K comes from Al-Anon and ACA rather than AA. He's got some great talks out there. He says, a sponsor is a lantern, not the light. In other words, what I am passing on is not from me and my ego. It is basically I am the channel, just like the prayer of St. Francis says. It's not transactional. It is based on unconditional love, which is what is available to me when I have had the spiritual awakening. Because to be awake means that I am able to be present. And in my function of being present, I can use all my six senses. and I am able to have the compassion, the patience, the tolerance, the kindness, etc., that the big book talks about. And I need to be reminded all the time that what I am trying to pass on in the program are the principles, which is the honesty which needs to come from deep within in step one, which is the hope in step two, which is the faith offered in step three, which is the courage that I need in step four, so that I can show integrity through the five-step process, where, again, relationships, the three relationships that I am here to heal, which is the relationship to my higher power, to my own self, my inner self, call it my inner child or my psychological self, and also my relationship to others. Those are the three relationships that I come into AA to heal. And for that, I need to alter my attitudes. I need to learn how to stay present so that I can access the power that lies within me, not from outside sources. I mean, my first sponsor said to me, you're getting your power from outside all the time. And do you remember, after you put the drink down, that a man is a drink on two legs, for example? She said also, girl, it's so easy. She says, all you have to do is to put on a drink and change your whole friggin' life. And the third one is, it's easy. It's so easy. You just do what you say you're going to do. You be where you say you're going to be at the time you said you'll be there. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But that is actually, that involves the whole my whole life. It's impossible in less than 2 minutes to go into how I sponsor, but I do believe that my job is to help people from a place of emotional immaturity. I was a 13-year-old tantrum-throwing spoiled brat when I was 45 when I came into recovery. And it is very much, as it's said in step 6 and 7 in the big in the 12x12, this is what, these two steps are what separates the boys from the men. So in other words, when I see all my defects, which are all based on my immature self, my tantrum-throwing little toddler, I get to see how I can turn these defects into the principles, the positive principles that I should now live by. So I need to become a mature adult, a functioning, fully functioning mature adult. And for that, I have three words that I use, and that is to be responsible, accountable, and reliable. And that is like the stream, the undercurrent that runs through all my sponsoring work, is that I am your accountability partner. Thank you.
Thanks, girl.
Sandy's our next speaker. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I'm just going to try and time myself, which is not, doesn't always go well. Hi, everybody. I'm Sandy. I'm an alcoholic. If you can't hear me at the back, just put your hand up and I'll try and shout. You can't hear me. Michelle. Hello.
Hello.
Right, thank you so much for asking me. It's a real privilege to do any service in AA. And yeah, I'm going to start by sharing what I often share, which is that when I came here, I was really broken. I was really broken and I had a lot of trauma, as we all do. You know, we come in, something really bad has happened to us before we come in here. And that bad thing is alcoholism. That's already happened to us. And so when I came in and I started going to meetings, because I had to, because I was in a treatment centre, I knew nothing about AA at all. All I knew that I'd been dumped in Camberwell in a treatment centre and I just didn't want any of it. I didn't want any of it. And I went to meetings. It was part of the contract that you went to two meetings a week. And I showed up at meetings and what I heard, and this isn't what was said to me, but this is what I heard. I heard, you can't drink for the rest of your life. you have to come here for the rest of your life. You have to be friends of all of these people for the rest of your life. And then you have to get a special friend. And then that special friend is going to make you write loads of stuff out, you know, and he's going to ask you loads of questions and challenge you on loads of stuff. And then you've also got to make the tea. And that's what I heard. And I just thought, this isn't for me. This is not for me. And I've done all of that stuff and more, and it is for me because I'm an alcoholic. And so when it came to the part where I had to get a special friend, I honestly didn't want to. And I was in recovery for about 10 months before I even considered a sponsor. And I was sober, and I was going to meetings, and I was running around. I had started doing service because I thought that, you know, that was fun. And I was going to a lot of meetings, not for the purpose of recovery and for various reasons, which there's other fellowships for. But what I didn't have a sponsor and I was sober, but I'd kind of forgot that trauma that I came from because I was in a different world. I was in a different place. I was with different people. But all the time, that stuff, my life was creeping back in. And that's what happens, I think. You come in here and I always compare it to the morning after the night before when you wake up and for that split second you think everything's all right. And then suddenly the night before rushes in and you think, oh, my God. And those very early days in recovery were a little bit like, you know, the life after the life before. But I couldn't hold back the life before. And I wasn't with my kids and I was living in a move-on house and I didn't have any money. And my family was so exhausted with me that they weren't really in touch with me, and I was having to start again, and I couldn't see how I would ever get a life back. I couldn't see how I'd ever heal relationships. I couldn't see how I'd ever work again. I couldn't see how I was going to get my kids back. And I got a sponsor from that point of an emotional rock bottom in recovery. You know, I was like, with everything else in my life, I have to nearly hit the wall before I do anything about it. And that was... It was solely the best decision I ever made, you know. And if anybody is new or if anybody... It's sometimes hard to talk about the steps because if you've done them, you know the benefit. And if you haven't done them, it's very hard to tell you the benefit. But getting a sponsor and going through the book and doing the 12 steps totally changed my life, totally. And it continues to change my life every single day of my life, every day. And part of that is because I've got sponsees, so I'm talking about it a lot still. But mostly, it just gave me a framework. It gave me a framework to join the dots of things with, you know. And so I got a sponsor. She wasn't my best friend. Before I got the sponsor, I had kind of really mad sponsor envy because I'd sit in rooms. I'm still finding it quite hard to mix with women and that. And I'd hear people saying, oh, I met my sponsor and I went shopping with my sponsor and then I had a sponsor and then they cooked me dinner. And I was like, where's this sponsor, you know? Where is this person who's going to cook me dinner? Even in Catford, in one room, fending for myself. And I finally got the courage to ask somebody that I did phone service with because I'd started to do phone service a little bit before my year. They kind of like squeezed me in. And this woman, she wasn't my best friend. She was lovely, but she wasn't my best friend. She wasn't like me. She didn't have children. She didn't have the history that I had. And it didn't matter at all. It didn't matter at all. And she was what I needed. She was very straightforward. I went to her house for 2 hours a week until we went through the steps. And that's how I sponsor newcomers. It's not how I sponsor people that have already done a program and maybe want to have a look at it again because... You know, there's so many different ways of sponsorship. So if I offend anyone, then you have a program for that. You can work that out, right? But for me, I've only ever done the steps once. And I know people like to do them a lot, and I see the benefit. But for me, my background in those steps was so thorough, you know, that I can apply them now to anything. And it talks in the book about we don't outgrow this program. Mm-hmm. I don't outgrow those steps. I still know what step one means to me. I still know what step three means to me. And I've had to up my game with all of that. And I, as a sponsor, that's what I think my job is. My job is to give my sponsees a good understanding of the 12 steps. And then they take that understanding and they apply it in their own life. Not my life. Not you know, because I've had sponsees that have done stuff that would have made me drink, you know. And I've done stuff that might have made other people drink. So I don't know what's going to make people drink. I don't know what people's triggers are. I don't know what their background is. Yeah, we talk and we find out about each other, but I'm very robust in some areas and other people aren't as robust in those areas. So the steps have to fit their life. It's no good me telling them what to do. I'm not a great believer in ring me at 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to get calls at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm busy, you know. I really, and because of that, that's not because I don't love my sponsees and all that. It's just that I'm not going to give them all of what I need to give them at 8 o'clock in the morning if I'm trying to get my stepkids to school. You know, I'm not going to be able, you know, to do what I can do with them unless we have that time period where I'm with them and I'm 100% with them. And I, you know, and I did get my family back and I also got remarried and got extra family and I also got a job and I also healed my relationships with my family and other people. And so my life has got bigger, as it does. And that has to fit in. So I'm also, I'm talking very fast. I don't know why, but I'm talking really fast. But I want to cram a lot in. I get very passionate about it. But also, other people are busy too. And like when I came in, I wasn't working and I had nothing. So I could go to meetings every day. I could go to 2 or 3 meetings a day. I could go for coffees afterwards. But because I sponsor women, the fact is some of these women can't do that. Some women have jobs. Some women have children. Some women, you know, cannot do that. Sometimes they're not physically in the same area as me. So it's quite difficult to accommodate that too. And I'm really, really grateful for Zoom because I do quite a lot of video sponsoring where I set aside a time and we sit down and we are face to face, you know. So there's all different ways of doing it, but I made loads of mistakes. When I first came in, I tried to sponsor exactly how my sponsor had sponsored me. And you hear that a lot. You hear that, I just do what I was taught, you know. But actually, I'm not her. You know, and I'm much more, I think, motherly towards my sponsees than she was to me. And I'm much more, I suppose I'm more, I take recovery really seriously. I take the book really seriously. I love the big book of AA. I think it's got all the answers for me. I can find something in there for every single thing that happens to me. And if I don't know what it is, somebody else will know what it is and help me with that. And I take that really seriously, and I take the steps and recovery and sponsorship really seriously. But I'm also very relaxed, because I really think you have to feel it. I think you have to really feel step 3. I think you have to really feel your powerlessness. And it's no, you know, I don't, personally, I don't write gratitude lists, because I am really grateful every single day. I can see a single thing, I can see a tree, and I feel like crying. I can see, I remember seeing my son, who, my kids were in the madness, and I can remember seeing my son walking ahead of me with his friend with a skateboard. No kids were allowed around my house when I was drinking. And I cried, you know, that. So I don't ask sponsees to do anything I don't do, but I support them if they want to do other stuff. I'm there to support them with that. So, yeah, I've got 2 minutes left. So just, I made lots of mistakes. I'll just tell a story of a mistake I made, so maybe other people might not make that mistake. So I had a, one of my first sponsee was very strong-willed. She was lovely. She's still around. She sacked me, but anyway, that's another story. But she was very lovely, and she'd come to my house, and she never left, right? And so she'd come with cakes and sweets and that, and we never really, sometimes we got to the steps, sometimes we didn't, and I phoned my sponsor and said, I'm struggling to tell her to go, because we've now got into this thing of, like, she comes round and we, you know, I wasn't quite cooking her dinner, but... And then she said, just tell her that you need to end it at this time. So that she came round and I said, you know what, I have to be in Camden at 3 o'clock. So she said, great, I'll drive you. I did not have to be in Camden at 3 o'clock. But at 10 to 3, I was in her car, driving to Camden. And then I had to get a cab from Camden to get to the school for 3:30 in Highgate. Right? And it taught me a lesson. It taught me that boundaries are important. It taught me that the truth is important. It taught me that anything you say to anyone in here, if it's said with love, mostly we can take it. We're not shrinking violets in here, yeah? We can take it. So, yeah, I don't know if that's a good point to end on, but I am going to end it on there, and thank you very much, everybody.
The guys are going around with some pens and paper, so if you do have questions for our speakers on the topic of sponsorship, please do write your questions down, and we'll do them at the end. So our final speaker is Dan. Thanks.
Hello everyone, my name's Dan, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey Dan. Dan.
Nice to be here. Yeah, oh, sponsorship. It's like, forgive me, Father, I have opinions. I'm like, my wife asked me, oh, what are you speaking on? I was like, sponsorship. She was like, Jesus Christ. Because she sort of listens to me kind of delivering the riot act to sponsees on this subject a lot, you know. And I think, you know, I think, but look, here's the point. I have pretty strong point of view on this. And if, you know, and just right from the off, I am of the belief that sponsorship is not an optional extra in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not an optional extra. It's not something you... It's the animating force in my recovery. Do you know what I mean? And I think that I just need to say that up front. And also, I think it's important for me to talk about why I sponsor, because it greatly informs how I sponsor. Do you know what I mean? I think if you're new and you're wondering what it all is, you know, I was taught early on, and I'm very grateful that, you know, that the point of the 12 steps is the 12 step. Do you know what I mean? That the first 11 steps are not actually the work. The first 11 steps are preparation for the work. Do you know what I mean? Step 12 is the work. You know, practice these principles in your affair, carry them, you know, in your affairs, not in your affair. And, do you know what I mean? And carry this message. Personally, that's the work. That is my work today, and it's important, you know. And all the things that I heard in my early days are so true. You know, this isn't a self-help program, it's a helping others program. Do you know what I mean? And it was explained to me, that's what separates AA from all the other therapies and things you may have tried. It doesn't make it better, but it's like, that's what sets it apart. You know, and AA's superpower, the thing that worked for me, is that it's taught me to no longer be my own primary purpose. It's taught me, you know, to shift the focus off me, off self. You know what I mean? I suffer from an excessive focus on self. You know what I mean? And nothing frees me from that, like sponsoring others. Do you know what I mean? And I've never found a way around it. Do you know what I mean? It's like... My recovery, I don't do it today. Like, I don't sponsor because I'm a kind of martyr, because I'm good. I don't even sponsor because I like helping people. And it... Do you know what I mean? And it comes naturally to me. Do you know what I mean? But what I've found, because my recovery is evidence-based. I've been doing this for like, I'm in my 17th year. I don't sponsor people because I just think it might help me. Do you know what I mean? It's like, simply put, I've found nothing, and I mean nothing, that in the aggregate has contributed more to my psychological well-being, my happiness, my growth, than service of others, than sponsoring people. Do you know what I mean? So I sponsor because I like the effects produced. Do you know what I mean? It's that simple. You know, and ultimately I also sponsor because I believe and I feel I have a moral obligation to pass this on. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I remember having it pointed out to me that the steps aren't linear. The steps are a clock face. You don't get a step one without someone else's step 12. There are no step ones. But I remember someone saying, oh, I got my step one in the pub. And I'm like, you didn't. What? You realised that self was the problem in the pub. It's like, no, I needed someone armed with the facts to show me what was wrong with me. Do you know what I mean? It's like, so if you're in AA and you're benefiting from a step one, you've already benefited from someone's step 12. You know what I mean? This is not an optional extra. And it's really, really important, I think, for me. And anyone I'm sponsoring... totally non-negotiable. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and so the thing, you know, I find, yeah, I mean, it is important. I just have to say, I don't understand how AA works without sponsoring. It's the tentpole. Do you know what I mean? Of everything. And I suppose, you know, for me, I guess I'm trying not to be too kind of like out there with it, but yeah, the thing is, like, the guy said to me, like, the guy I speak to now regularly, and he talks to me, he's like, Dan, there are radiators and there are drains, and you have to make sure that you're a radiator. Do you know what I mean? You have to make sure you're putting out, you know. And that's the thing for me, because what I found is I came to AA and there's a biting point, and I see it with my sponsees, and it was in my life. There's a biting point where AA ceases to be a resource for me and I become a resource for it. There's a tilt switch that happens. And what happens today is it's my contribution to AA. It's my contribution in life that keeps me well. Like, I don't come here now to take, you know, I come here to put in, you know. But the good thing is I've been taught how to do that, and I had to be taught how to do that, you know. And so for me, like, the way I sponsor today and what I do when I sponsor, you know, and I always speak to my sponsees about this, the best thing I can do for anyone is help them become a sponsor, not become my sponsee. Being Dan's sponsee is not going to change your life. Do you know what I mean? But being able to marshal someone through the 12 steps, being able to marshal someone from steps 4 to 9, you know, is what will change your life. Like, what I have learned is that it's sponsoring where all the magic is in AA. It's like, that's where all my growth has come from. And what I do with the people I sponsor is we sit down, and basically it's like, because I can't fix you. I can't get away, I can't absolve you of your past, I can't do anything, but what I can show you is how to be useful. Because what happened with me is, you know, after time I realized the steps didn't make me well, and the steps didn't just make me happy. Like, the steps aren't magic. The steps showed me I was wrong. The steps convinced me of the futility of life as I was living it. And then they gave me a way to clean up my mess, and then they gave me a way to start contributing to the world. Do you know what I mean? And so that's what I can do for my sponsees. You know, because what I have found, I've never seen... Okay, no, let me rephrase this before I say something offensive. The people I see who really, really thrive in AA are able to sponsor people using the book. And I think it's also important for me, like, I never want to not be working with someone, like, taking them through the work. Like, that's sponsorship. Because when I say sponsorship, I mean, you know, like, doing the work. You know, because I think if you aren't taught how to do that, are you sponsoring, or are you just a fellow on the phone? Which is fine and is wonderful. But what is that if I can bring you to the book and I can teach you with the book. So on day one, with us, when I sit down with a sponsee, and how I sponsor, it's with the big book, it's face to face. I've never really found another, through trial and error, I find that's where I'm most effective. We sit down, we open the book, and it's like page one, every note that's going in this book is for the person that you're gonna sponsor next. Day one, and they look at you like, WTF, like, what? And I'm like, and you're going to be doing it way sooner than you're comfortable with. Because the thing is, it's like, once we get there, that's it. If you don't pass this on, if you don't sponsor, I don't sponsor you. Do you know what I mean? This is not a free service I'm offering you. You know, and the thing is, there's something in the literature about, you know, we create the fellowship we crave. And what I realize is the fellowship I crave is a fellowship full of people who are able to sponsor and pass this on. Do you know what I mean? Who can be useful. And also, they tend to have bigger lives as a result as well, is my observation. You know, so what I do is I sit down with them and we go through the book, and we go through it page at a time. Because as Sandy said, you know, we all come in here in different states, and we all come in here with different stuff going on. What I have learned over the years is I've learned how to sponsor the person in front of me and meet that person where they are. Because for a long time, I had a kind of one-size-fits-all approach. And it'd be like, oh, he just didn't want it enough. It's like, no, you're just battering him over the head with, like, some of this didn't make sense to him. And over time, you know, through doing this, because the more I sponsored, the more you become a, thank you, the more you become a student of the human condition. Do you know what I mean? And what I see again and again is alcoholics have, like, 5 problems, really. And they just come in different things and in a different dress. But when you sieve it down, it's the same stuff. Do you know what I mean? And so... But I can help people find themselves in the work. Because I think what it is like, who has a one-for-one match for the stuff, you know, for the examples in the big book? I mean, let's be honest, you know, the jaywalker, it's like, fucking hell, what are you banging on about? But if I can help people pattern match, and I can help people start to see that this does relate to you, do you know what I mean? The thinking, the repetitiveness, the insanity, it's you. And so helping people find themselves in the book, you know, and also... The thing with me is like, and we're writing notes the whole way. So it's like, we turn it into a tool of sponsorship. The big book, you know what I mean? Where it's like, so the guy you go to next, you don't have to be an expert. You're not going to feel ready. As has been shared, we learn on the job. Like, do you know what I mean? But if your book's full of stuff that I've been given and other people have been given, then you can draw other people's attention to it. And so what happened is, you know, the best I can do is maybe render you useful. And maybe help render you willing with the steps. Do you know what I mean? And then, and I all I know is being able to take someone from 4 to 9, like, and help be part of the precipitating the psychic change in another, my observation, and it's an earned observation, you know, like, I've been doing it a while, is those people tend to fare very well. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's like, if you are sat here thinking, oh, I'm not going to sponsor, I'm going to find a way through, because that was what I thought. And thankfully, I had a good sponsor. It was just like, no. You know what I mean? Trust me. Like, the cash and prizes, the stuff it talks about in the big book, the terms and conditions are step 12. Like, you don't get to dodge it. So, is that meaning to shut up?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll leave it there. Thanks, cheers.
To the Q&A part of the session. We've got lots of questions, so we'll start with an easy-ish one. And it's, what's the one piece of advice or suggestion you would give someone new to sponsorship? Who wants to kick off? What's the one piece of advice? Go on, Sandy, you read it.
What's the one piece of advice you would give someone new to sponsorship? My advice would be brave enough to say to them, I don't know the answer to that, and I will go and seek information from my sponsor. That would be the basic one piece of advice that I would give.
Anybody else like to add to that?
If you're new to it, as in, and you have a new relationship with someone, I think also spend some time with them. You've got to get to know people. I mean, the instructions are in, like, you know, working with others, and for years I sort of dismissed them. But now I realise there's actually really clear instruction, but getting to know someone, because as we said, we all come here with like a different story in our head. We all come with different wounds, different resistances. So just find out where they're at, and because then, you know, you can start to learn how to best help apply this work to them. Yeah.
I would say that, I agree very much, but no first attempt at sponsorship is ever wasted, because every time I try to sponsor, I will learn how to be a better sponsor. So therefore, do not get discouraged by anything if sponsorship is not successful according to the first attempt brain that I remember having to fight.
Mm. Okay. Here's the next question. Do you ever turn down a request for sponsorship because you're too busy?
I, for a long time I didn't. I was engaged in competitive sponsorship.
really?
Like, if you were, especially if you were sort of like a musician, or I just went around East London like collecting, like, but yeah, and you know, I'm a dad and I'm a husband now, and you know, and I have to play the roles that that are mine to play today. So sometimes but what I would never do is, I would never dismiss someone. It's like, then it's just like, then I have to just line up my sponsees. I'm like, oi, do you know what I mean? And they go down the thing, you know, and I'll help that person find a sponsor for sure. But what I don't do is just blindly take people on anymore. I, you know, I have to have some self-awareness, you know?
We do everyone.
You can, if you feel you have an answer, please do share.
Are we still on the same one?
Yeah.
I would say to someone, I'm too busy. I don't like that phrase, too busy. But if I don't have the time, it's not fair on them, and it's also not fair on me. As Dana said, I'd always say, you can ring me, though, at any time, but keep trying to find a sponsor, because I think it's very important they do. If I'm aware of somebody that's sponsoring, I'll try and pass them on. But I think the worst bit of advice I was ever given was by somebody, like, when I was quite new, and they said, unless you can 100% say you cannot help that person, you should sponsor them. Mm. I mean, that was crazy. And I go back to the responsibility statement, you know. I make sure the hand of AA is there. I go to meetings, I support meetings, I do all of that stuff, I do service, so that there is enough people there available to sponsor. It doesn't mean that I personally have to sponsor every single person that asks me. So it's fairer, I think, to say that you can't do it and support them in finding someone else than to just take them on, because that's just ego, isn't it? It's just ego. So, yeah, thank you.
Because I live in Portugal and I sponsor in a sort of retreat type of setting, meaning that I will have people visit for two sessions. You know, they come and they do up to step 4 instructions, including instruction for 4, and then the rest of the steps in sort of 2x3 settings. So for me, it's conditional very much on something that is not very usual when you live in the same town. But if I am asked by somebody who especially is new, and I know they need a fellowship, because when you're new, you really do need a fellowship, I will recommend sponsees I have who are excellent and will be a much better option than me. So I will not hug the idea of sponsorship. I will try to these days fit into people's who can accommodate the situation that I am in. That's as simple as that.
Okay. I believe there's a technical term for this, just as proof that there's three questions that are pretty much the same. I'm going to tell you now, this is probably the most negative one we're going to have today. So we'll call this the meat in the ish sandwich, and I'm deliberately editing myself there. Basically, they all say the same thing. When is a right time to sack a sponsee? Is there a good way to let go of a sponsee? And when should I sack a sponsee? Does anybody have an opinion on those questions?
I will start. Because I never sack a sponsee. Because we may be aggressively feeling low self-esteem and insecure, or we may be very self-pityingly feeling the same feeling. I know that the self-esteem that I came in with was so low that if I had to be shamed by somebody who did not want to work with me, all I do, I start off with basically what I call a fridge contract, where I make a contract with people. This is what we agreed to do. And if that doesn't is not respected, then I say, well, this contract is now basically broken. How do you feel about that? And then they will basically free themselves of any further relationship with me, which is a much better way. Everybody's dignity is preserved.
Sandy?
Yeah, I used the word sack earlier, and I apologise for that, because I don't like that word. Because we're all on an equal playing field. I don't think, you know, people sack you, I sack you, you sack me. I don't like that word. But certainly I have had sponsees that I've stopped working with. And my experience is that they drift off, that they drift off. And I've only ever had to tell one sponsee, I cannot work with you anymore. And that was because, unfortunately, that sponsee had really bad mental health, very bad. And it was, you know, needed far more than I could give. And again, I have to really look at my own limitations and my own ego as why I thought I could sponsor that person that had, a lot of other people had also tried to sponsor. And I really, you know, it developed into quite an unhealthy relationship, and that's not helping anybody. But if people don't really want to do the work, or if they decide, you know, I've never told anyone that I'm not going to work with them anymore. But usually when I start putting in boundaries about actually you need to do this and you need to, they go. And I still love them and I'm still available to them. But as far as I'm concerned, that's the end of this period of sponsorship. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, ditto. I concur with all of that. Yeah, I mean, but I'm not, yeah, I won't co-sign people's crazy checks. Do you know what I mean? Like, I won't. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, when someone's sponsor, and the classic thing, they're on four, and then it literally gets to like 12 months and there's nothing, but they will call you endlessly about their relationship, their job, their work. And so I will just draw to their attention, this isn't sponsorship, this is fellowship. I'd love to say I was that calm on a call this week, actually. But, you know what I mean? I laid it on the line though. I was just like, you need, yeah. Just this is, you know, this is nonsense. Because the fact is, it's like, yeah, I can't, I'm not gonna kind of, you know, we all come here with a lot of stuff, but one of the things that we come here with, and no one wants to sort of point to it, is like there's an element of learned helplessness. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And so people are constantly looking for someone to sort of validate it, and it's just like, no, it's my job is to be, to a degree, a loving brick wall. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, this is the deal. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is, if you meet me here, we're good, and you will get well. But so yeah, as has been shared, I've never needed to sort of like sack anyone and kind of stomp off. It just, I will give something of an ultimatum, like this form needs to be finished in 2-3 weeks or whatever, or it's probably best you don't just keep calling me to talk about your girlfriend, because I actually don't care. And you know what I mean? So sorry, mate. Yeah, well, that's it. Cheers.
Okay, this question says, how would you sponsor somebody who's dyslexic, a non-reader? Do you have suggestions on how you would sponsor someone?
I haven't had to do that, but I, from what I understand, there's a lot of spoken tapes available of the big book, and I would go through that with them, or I would do the reading. And sometimes when I've got sponsees and they're not very confident reading, when we're going through the book, I do the reading. So I what was it, just dyslexic and...
Dyslexic or non-readers.
Yeah, sponsors. Well, that's it then. I try and accommodate myself to the best way and get whatever was available then to the best way. I haven't had to do it yet, but as I say, I do read when... Even if they're just a bit nervous to read, I don't mind doing that. It's good anyway.
I mean, in my early days, I did sponsor a chap, a non-reader, and we read, you know, I read the book to him, and we took time on sort of questions, and, you know, we worked through each chapter, you know, because that's the thing. I can still help people find themselves in the literature, do you know what I mean, and let them know, you know, help them decide for themselves if they want to be here or not, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's probably something I could get far better at, if I'm going to be honest.
Can I just say that people can get conference-approved literature on, I think, what they do it now, on podcasts and things like that. Yeah. And I'm severely dyslexic, and I believe I've got a good knowledge of the big book. Mm-hmm. So it's conference-approved literature which they can study and go through at the same time.
Thanks.
Sorry.
Okay, let's squeeze this last one in then. I'm concerned my new sponsee is going to get unhelpful ideas out of naivety from unrecovered alcoholics. How do I steer them in the right direction?
Well, this goes to sponsoring from the ego. If I'm presented with a sponsee that can teach me something about, is this my stuff, and also... knowing where I stop and you begin, that would be the biggest lesson I could have in a setting like that, because I cannot, if I start to try and control that, I have big lessons ahead of me.
Sandy?
I'm not sure if the question is alcoholics or people in AA that are unrecovered alcoholics. I'm not really sure what that question actually is, but, you know, there is a responsibility from the sponsee as to what they want. If somebody asks me to sponsor them, they are going to ask me... They're giving me permission, as far as I'm concerned, to challenge them on things their friends won't challenge them on. Mm-hmm. So if they come to me with some idea that they've heard in the room, I will give them my opinion on that. Whether they like it or not, then they make decisions. And sometimes, I know definitely in early recovery, I made decisions based on the fact that I didn't want to hear the real kind of... the real deal. But I think as time you go through with sponsors, that improves. They listen less. And then they'll come and tell you what other people are saying that doesn't make sense. So that's the ideal, really. But, I'll challenge them on it, I think. I'll challenge them on it.
Yeah, 100%. I think also, like, keep it light. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think the thing I need to also point out with my spot, it's not sorcerer and apprentice. Do you know what I mean? It's like two beggars, one showing the other one where the bread is. I've just been doing this longer. So... You know, when someone comes to me with just complete bombs ideas or just stuff they've heard, do you know what I mean? I've invariably probably heard it, and even worse, probably acted on it. Do you know what I mean? So I've got experience. Do you know what I mean? It's like, good Lord. Do you know what I mean? My first 5 years were an absolute shit show. And I did. I made every mistake, so I've got a wealth of kind of... That's the whole point, isn't it? The power of experience. It's just like... But that, you know, but that said, I, you know, keep it light, but also, if it's properly mental, let them know that is an absolutely crazy idea, you know.
Okay, that wraps up the Q&A portion of the session today. Can we have a quick round of applause for our speakers, please? More sessions in this room today, starting a relationship with a higher power and getting out self. There are 5 sessions tomorrow, kicking off at 1:30, and we'll close with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Wow, that was amazing.